And so this morning, we're continuing our theme that we've began at the end of the beginning of the year on holy lives, holy living. And today we get to the real crunch, money. John, I never get as many complaints as I know I'm going to get when I preach on money. People complain about this one, so if you want to complain, my name is Vicky. Okay, it's not. It's something about money that we don't like talking about, isn't it? I came across this cartoon some time ago, and hopefully it comes up on the screen now, that says it all, really. Yes, we're wholly converted apart from our wallets. Money. ABBA sang about it, wasn't it? I'm not going to sing it, you'll be pleased to know. Money, money, money. Must be funny. It's been sung about in the musicals, If I Were a Rich Man. I think the next line goes something like doobie 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 doo, doesn't it? You know, I mean, it's got complicated lyrics. But money is something that we sing about. Money is something that we are dominated from. Whenever you're having conversations with people, they want to know, well, how much did that cost? You buy something new, well, how much did it cost? As if it's important to know that piece of information. Money is something that we talk about all the time. Interestingly, also, it's something we feel bereft of. After the National Lottery had been running for 10 years, they interviewed all the jackpot winners in a survey. And the overwhelming response was this: I wish I had won more and won it sooner. It was not enough. The sense of we have never got enough. I'm conscious that today I'm speaking about something that nobody ever has enough of. We always need more. Just a bit more, of course. And we always think, how are we going to make sure we get that money? Well, let me tell you. If you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back and a roof over your head and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. Okay, you might feel you're poor today, but if you have food, clothing, a roof over your head, you are 75%, richer than 75% of the world. So let's thank God for that. Let's thank God for that. If you have money in your bank or your wallet and some spare change, you are among 8% of the world's most wealthy. Okay, you might not feel it. You might look at some of the very rich people and think, well, it's all right for them, they've got all that money. You, if you have some money in your wallet or bank, are among 8% of the world's most wealthy people. Let's keep these things in context. Let me just say, it's not wrong to have money. And Tesco's are not very welcoming to those with no money. They like to be paid for what you take out. And people have dug deep into their bank reserves to just make sure they've got enough toilet rolls and pasta to get them through the next decade. My question is, where are they storing it all? It's good to have money. It's good to have some of the things that money can buy. But it's good, too, to check up in a while to make sure you haven't lost the things that money can't buy. And sometimes our desire for money makes us work so hard or do so much that we lose relationships, we lose happiness, we lose comfort. Greed is a motivator for the loss of so much. And one of the things that we do as we look at this in a scriptural way, we need to ask ourselves, God, have I got my attitude wrong? My attitude to money wrong? Have I got my attitude to life wrong? What does it mean to be holy where money is concerned? Money is really powerful. Not only because of what we can do with it, but also what it can do to us. If not treated the right way, it can rule over our hearts, lead us into a life that dishonors and displeases God. It can cause us all kinds of anxieties and troubles. On the other hand, when we fill our hearts with right attitudes and with the desires to honor God more than anything, we can use our money for so much good. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 challenges us with this, saying, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce." So how can we start to focus on holy lives in terms of our money? What can we do to make sure that we use our finances in the way that glorifies God? Now, many of you are probably expecting me to do a sermon on giving to the church. And I will mention it, but that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about our whole lives, the way we are together. The first thing is to build a right attitude towards money. The right attitude. Honoring God with our wealth starts with our hearts. Unless our attitude and perspectives on money are set in the right way, what we do externally will remain empty and misguided actions. You know, when we did the series on the Ten Commandments, and you can still remember all the Ten Commandments, I hope. Those of you who are here know what the Ten Commandments are, from 10 down to 1, in order, remember? I will be testing sometime, so you might want to swat up. But the second commandment is, "Have no idols before me." God doesn't like two-timing. And money can be an idol before God. Wealth can be something that is before God. And sometimes money becomes our security. Isn't it interesting, over the last few days we have seen the stock market collapse as fear sets in. Is that our security? Is our security in our finances, in our bank balances? Or is our security in God? Is our security in God? Honoring God with our wealth starts with, "God, you are number one. And thank you for the resources you have given to me. I want to put you first, God, with everything I do, with what you have given me." And although we're talking about money, we could be talking about our homes, about our vehicles, about all our resources. How can we use everything that God has given to us for God's purposes? And so, having a right attitude, we brought our offerings to God this morning and we put them in, saying, "Right, God, this is your portion." What about if we saw everything we had as God's portion? Everything we have got can be used by God. And so it's caring for the needy, giving a lift to the person who needs a lift, providing something for somebody who has no food. Is your whole life, all that you have, under God's authority and God's rule? And so we need to have a right attitude. The second is to be led by God in our financial decisions. You might think, well, the reading that Liz read is a very funny reading when talking about money, because it doesn't actually mention money, does it? John 14 has no reference to money in there. It has a reference, though, to the leading by the Holy Spirit. It says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Walking by the Spirit does not necessarily mean that we have to, every time we go to the shop to buy a cup of coffee or something, we have to pray, Lord, am I allowed this cup of coffee? We might not like the answer if we pray that prayer every time as well. And we might get into really complicated. Is it fair trade? How many of you had today? No, that's not what this is about. It's about actually, Lord, guide me in the use of what you have given me. Let your Spirit lead me in how I use my gifts and my skills, my time and my talents. Lord, I offer you all that I have. But also, the Holy Spirit leads us in a way that it challenges the desires of our flesh. We need to not be tempted by jealousy. Oh, my next door neighbour's got a new car. Maybe I need one as well. I just need to make sure that it is bigger. I don't know if any of you have seen recently on the telly, there's been a series of programmes about Bentley cars. And how one person brought a Bentley. And this Bentley costs something like £300,000. And they needed to get all the extras, which cost them something like another £150,000. Just in case, on the off chance, they parked their car next to somebody else who had the same model, that theirs will still be better. And you sort of think, really? Really? We don't need the best of everything. Jealousy eats us up. Pride, envy. And these all influence our spending. As we think about what we're going to buy, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reminding us that God has given us material things, but we don't necessarily need to waste our resources. Our lust after material things are not of God. We need to be free of the peer pressure of others. We need not to go into debt for trivial things. Debt is a condition that actually destroys people. I have seen people who have so much debt and they are destroyed because their life is out of control. And when you talk about the debt, well, I was only spending a bit on this thing and that thing. And look, I know many people go into debt because they haven't got enough resources. And as a nation, that should be a shame on us. But others go into debt because they are unwise. We need to not allow our spending to get out of control and beyond our ability to repay. And let me just give a promo here. If you are finding your debt and your spending out of control, we will run, and I'm looking at Cheryl, we will run another CAP course, a money management course, because it's important that we take control of our resources and we take control because that honours God. God promised us that we seek first his kingdom. And that's what we need to seek for our wholeness. We will never be satisfied by possessions. Have you ever spent a lot of money on something thinking this is going to bring you happiness, and you get it and you think, oh, I don't feel any better. That new car hasn't made me feel fulfilled like I thought it would. That possession hasn't ticked all the boxes. I feel empty. When Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our counselor, it was to be the partner in all areas of our life, and therefore announce, have the Holy Spirit as our financial advisor. He needs to lead, to guide, and to direct our financial decisions. We need to be open to hearing and quick to obey his direction caused by or for our finances. We need to not fulfill the lusts of our flesh by buying things that we do not need and not spending money on foolish pursuits. And so we take the guidance of God, but thirdly, we need to know our heart. Money's not just a physical thing, it's also part of our spiritual life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me ask you a question. What's the most important thing to you? What is the thing you cannot live without? It might be family. But money shouldn't be there. Money shouldn't be there. We have to have a right perspective towards money. We must make sure that it is serving us, God, and others, and that we're not serving money. We need to have God's priority for the use of our money. When we get our paycheck, our pension, our income, of whatever, what's our reflection? Lord, how can I use this for your glory? And what about our spending? What does that say about our priorities? Have you ever stopped to look at your supermarket shopping and ask yourself, what's this say about me? Maybe you'd rather not do that. Our priorities, gambling. Yes, Lord, you've given me a resource, I'll risk it. Instead of relying on God. Wasting it on silly purchases, which you don't need. What about our secret spending that we don't want others to know about? Because really, we know we shouldn't be spending money on that. What is the heart? What is your heart where money is concerned? Is it something you can take to God and say, God, I will let you in to my decisions around my money? And so, as we come towards a conclusion on this, I want to just remind us that we need to take control of our spending. You remember in that parable of the talents in the Bible, the master gave one 10 talents, one 5 talents, one talent, and the master went away and they were expected, and the one who had 10 made 10 more, the one who had 5 made 5 more, and one who had 1 just went and buried it and didn't use it at all. God's given every one of us, resources. You may not feel wealthy, as we said at the beginning. And those resources might not be measured in pounds or hundreds of pounds, but they're measured in what God has given you, your talents, your skills. As we celebrated International Women's Day today, we saw and celebrated those talents that have been given to God and God has richly used. But all of us have something. When Moses was questioning God, God turned to Moses and says, Moses, what's in your hand? And I believe God's saying to us today, what is in your hand that I can use? What is it that God has given us that we can use to bless others? To right an injustice? What is it that God's given us to use to make a difference to another person's life? What is it that God has given us to use for his glory? What is it that's actually God's that God wants us to use for him? God wants to bless us. That's his habit, isn't it? That we can bless others. And we need to take control of our finances and be led by the Holy Spirit in such a way that God is steering and guiding all of our lives. That cartoon, the wallet needs to be baptized. Our resources need to be baptized. We need to give everything to God. And when we put everything in God's hands, we will be amazed what God can do with it. And let me tell you something, you can't outgive God. God always gives more. But the other thing I want to say, and this comes from the reading that Liz read, as well as the Holy Spirit leading us, is that sense of peace. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. When God takes total control of our whole lives, including our resources, our money, we have peace. And I want to encourage you to discover that as you trust God more and more with what God has given you. I want you to trust God and know the peace that God is in control. And he's not going to say, I've had enough of you. He's going to give you the best. And I want to just conclude by reminding us that the Bible also says a lot about giving to God. It talks about tithes and offerings. And this has been going since the beginning of time. In Deuteronomy, it says tithing is a form of worship. And the purpose of tithing is to teach us to put God first. And throughout the scriptures, it talks about giving to God our tithes, our offering, our best. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say, if you want to be wealthy, give to God, because that's not what it says. We're not into prosperity gospel or any other twisting of scripture to fulfill our carnal desires to become wealthy and all drive up, and we'll have to enlarge the car park spaces because everybody rides in a Rolls Royce or Jaguar or other 4x4s. That's not what the Bible's saying here. But it does quite clear that we should give to God. And I want us, as we go away from this place and we just spend some time this week reflecting, where's my heart? My heart's where the treasure is. Okay, where's my treasure? Okay, God, I want to be led by you, by your Holy Spirit. I want to also challenge you to putting right some of the times that you've not given to God. I want to challenge you to making a covenant with God that you will put him first. You will give him your best and your first, that God can use them. But also, we'll put God first in everything we do. And so, holy people. That's what we've been talking about this year, isn't it, so far? And we've talked about all sorts of subjects. Holy diaries, holy worship, holy everything. Maybe we now just talked about that last place where God needs to challenge us. But the question I have as I conclude, and preachers can have more than one conclusion, just to keep you up to date there. It's, will you let God truly be Lord of all? Truly take control of all that you are. God can be trusted. But in the analogy of Peter in the boat who wanted to walk on water, he had to take a step. And you will never find out what God can do with you, your resources, what a difference he can use you for in your everyday life if you don't take the first step to let him take control. It's time to take another step out of the boat and let God be in control. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, you know each one of us as individuals. You know our strengths. You know our weaknesses. You know what our resources we have, those resources we've given and the resources we've held back. Lord, we pray today that we will allow you and your Holy Spirit to guide us in all things, to lead us to all truth, that you can use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.